got you now. There you go. I thought as it was a communion service, perhaps we should just spend a little more time looking at the Last Supper, or the communion service. Some call it breaking of bread. And it's a tradition that's followed the churches down the centuries. But in the days of Jesus, it was a formal festival. And that festival was in April. And we'll go back to the origins of that festival soon. But April isn't a long way from Easter. I wonder if there's some coincidence there, because they had the Last Supper, and then they went out. If you remember, they sang a hymn and went out, and then Jesus started his journey to the cross. So the fact that the Last Supper, or the Passover festival, was in April time, which explains the calendar. So, first of all, we need to have a little look at the preparation. The Passover was celebrated with a meal, and that meal was prepared, and it was normal for a lamb to be sacrificed, a pure lamb to be sacrificed. And at the Passover feast, they would eat the lamb. But we have to go back to, get that to behave. We have to go back to Exodus. And don't we all know the incident, the last of the plagues, when Moses was, with God's guidance, was trying to persuade the Pharaoh to let his people go. And he always found a way not to. And as the plagues got worse and worse, he seemed to be more resistant to letting them go. So God said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family." So that's where it started. "One for each household." So if the family was so big, then they split it into the individual households. "And if a household was too small, then they could share with another household." "You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat." So this is definitely a nothing to be left over. "The animals you choose must be a year old male without defect, and you may take them from sheep or goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight." Is that the end of the day, beginning of the day? I think it's the end, isn't it? Yep. "And then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lamb." "That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled, but roast it in the fire. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it." Are you getting a picture about this meal? Nothing's to be left over. It's all got to be well thought out and constructed. Now, this is how you'd read it. Your cloak tucked into your belt. So put your big coat on, people, because you're going to be moving out quite quickly. Your sandals on your feet and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. It was not intended to be a protracted meal. Why was that? Because on that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. And then he said, and we're going to commemorate this day as a festival. And we're going to call the festival the Passover, the Feast of the Passover. And you're going to celebrate this every year. So with this background, we then come to the time when Jesus was with the disciples. And what did he say to them? They said to him, where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover? So they knew that was going to happen. And they knew it would have to be a perfect lamb or a goat, which will be sacrificed, and they will get together and eat that sacrifice. This is a formal celebration. So he sent two disciples, telling them, go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. You see anything special about that? It was always the women that carried the water. So seeing a man carrying water would be an exception, and he would stand out. And he said, go with that man, follow him. And when he gets to where he's going, again, I'll just pick the exact words up. The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you to a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations. And then Jesus arrived with the 12. So they prepared for the Passover feast. We tend not to celebrate it now. The Jews do, but we don't. What we have is the breaking of bread, because it's the same time when Jesus declared that the body and blood were his broken body and shed blood for us. Did we prepare before we came here tonight for the breaking of bread? You see, back in with Moses, it said, keep your shoes on, keep your coat on, because you're going to have to move very quickly. They prepared themselves, and I guess that tradition would have it that when they had the Last Supper with Jesus, they probably kept their coats and shoes on, just because they knew that God, different things would happen. And so it proved. Because when Jesus went out from that room, he started down the path towards the crucifixion. He was arrested. The bread. Anybody here makes bread? Yeah, no, I put my hand up, I do. And when you're making bread, there are two separate areas where you leave the bread to rise. Once you've first mixed it and got it all in the right consistency, then you sit and watch it until, as the book says, it is at least doubled in size, because the yeast in it is causing it to rise. So there are bubbles coming up in the bread. And then when it's spent all that time rising, you take it out of its bowl and beat it back into its original size. And some put it into a baking tin, some I split it into rolls. But then you've got to leave it for another hour or so. And then it comes up again. Then you put it up in the oven and it then goes berserk sometimes. So the bread, why did they have to have unleavened bread? And we all look round for this very deep, symbolic, spiritual gesture. And it's actually quite simple. From them putting the blood on the lintels and eating the lamb, they were thrown out almost within minutes, and there would be no time for the bread to rise. So he said, use unleavened bread. Don't put yeast in it. Just make it as it is, and then it's there. You can take it with you. But I don't see any massive spiritual undertone in that. It was just something very practical. If you want to have bread with your meal, you don't have time to sit and let it rise twice. And it says that Jesus took the cup, the bread, and he gave it to them. He passed it to them. So it would be probably in a wafer form at this point. No yeast in it, no rising, just normal wafers. And then he said these strange words, "This is my body, which is broken for you." So the bread is very meaningful. This is not unleavened bread. Does it matter? No. Because we've had time for it to be properly prepared and raised, and we can take it as it is. Had we been in a hurry, we probably would have used unyeasted bread. So Jesus took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it. Notice that he gave thanks for the food. That's traditional, and it is a courtesy to God because he provides it. So to thank God for the food is the right thing to do. And then he distributed it. Did you notice that it was Jesus that took the bread and distributed it? He didn't look for a servant or one of the other disciples. He did it himself. He gave the bread to the disciples. And as we take these emblems later on, we should remember that we're given this by God. And if you say, no, it's only bread, well, where did the flour come from? Where did the yeast come from? Where did everything else come from? God's provision. So the bread is important to remember that God provided for us. We come to the wine. And I've heard some people go on and on about alcohol, and you shouldn't have it, and you're Christians, and it's of the devil, and all those sorts of things. It was traditional in those days to drink wine instead of water, simply because the water quality wasn't guaranteed. So if you had wine, you know you were getting something that had been fermented and therefore was pretty good and pure. And for those who said, but it wasn't really wine, we have evidence of people in Scripture saying they've had too much wine. They're not behaving well. So it was real wine. They took the wine, and Jesus took it, and he said, when he had given thanks, of course, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. That implies that it was one vessel, and they all drank from the one vessel. Again, that was the feast of the Passover, not the breaking of bread. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, he said to them. Truly, I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. I think the blood has the same connotations in our breaking of bread as it did in the Passover, as it did in the original Passover, where the blood shelters us from the enemy. And we are safe as we take the bread, understanding that it was Jesus' blood shed for us. Not transubstantiation, by the way. We don't do that. They're symbols. And then after the celebration, it says they sang a hymn and went out. That again implies that it wasn't a long, drawn out service. But along the way, Jesus said, by the way, one of you is going to betray me. So within the midst of them, there was one who was willing to betray Jesus for money. And they all asked, you know, is it me, is it me, is it me? And the answer was, it's one of you who is taking supper with me. It's a good clue, isn't it? And then he talked to Peter, and Peter, he said, I will never leave you. And then Jesus had to say to him, you may say that, Peter, but before the cock crows this evening, three times, you will have denied me three times. So during that short feast or celebration, there were some things to talk about which were a bit unfortunate. One was about denying Jesus. One was about betraying Jesus. But they sang a hymn and they went out into the Mount of Olives. And instantly it started. Jesus left the disciples and said, I'm going to go and pray. And in the area there, he was arrested. And then it started to go downhill from there. So, are we ready? Are we prepared? Do we know what this is about? It's about remembering what Jesus did for us. It's about accepting his body and blood as being destroyed for our forgiveness. And when we come, are we prepared to go and serve God as he would want us to. You got your shoes on? Well, yes, you have. Have you got your coat on? Do you understand that as soon as you go out there, you're then out serving God and following his direction? And that means tonight. It isn't just a theory. God is calling us at his service. Now, some of us are getting a bit older, and we almost try to claim exemption from this, don't we? We try to say, no, I'm far too old now to start serving you, God. But actually, all he wants us to do is what he asks us to do. And God isn't going to ask us to do anything which we can't do. So why do we need to worry? We go from here tonight in God's service and we're prepared for whatever happens. It was the angel of death in Moses' time. It was Jesus being arrested and the whole of the crucifixion. But tonight, what is it? There must be something that Jesus is calling each one of us to, which we're capable of doing, and which we have to be ready and willing to do. That's what this is about. It also brings us together. There were 12 people around that table, or 13. And there were all sorts of people. There were fishermen, there were Jews, there were Gentiles, there were tax collectors, sinners. I think he had most of every kind. So, as a church, we shouldn't seek to become perfect and not allow others to join us, because that's what happens when you seek to be perfect. This assembly is God's church. This is a symbolic gesture of what God did. He sent Jesus to be crucified for our sins. So we're going to sing a couple of verses, because it's traditional to sing a hymn before we do much more. It's 230. And we're just going to sing the first two verses before we break bread.